everybody. Cal Banyan here once again with Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc., with Celeste Hackett. I'm here in Tustin, California, and she's way out there in Texas somewhere. Celeste, what's going on today? You're in charge.
Oh, wow. Well, that's really cool. I like being in charge. You better look out, Cal, because I got some good questions for you. And I'm just wringing my hands over here. Rubbing my hands together. The wringing my hands means I'm scared, right? I'm rubbing my hands together because I'm so gleeful about this.
Okay. Do you have like a little pointed witch hat on and stuff
something
like that?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, just like that. Okay, the first question right out of the box. I love this one because it's a really interesting one.
Wait. Celeste, before you get started, how many questions you got for me today?
I've got three questions. One of them is about a hypnotist who is really scared to work with this guy who has male dysfunction. Maybe scared isn't the word, but he's really uncomfortable about it. He's never worked with that issue before. And another one is about age regression and bringing up a feeling. It's another one like that. And actually, the others are a secret.
Okay. I just wanted to get kind of an overview so I could get into the groove or let my subconscious mind start preparing itself for these questions. Good. Okay, fire away, Celeste.
Okay, so the question that I got from a hypnotist that I thought was really interesting this week, and this really is something that every hypnotist deals with sooner or later, you know, until you see a lot of clients, you're going to be faced with problems that maybe you've only heard whispered about or read in magazines about or maybe seen on TV. And this client says, Cal, I'm a new hypnotist faced with a situation that is making me very uncomfortable. I recently booked a male client for erectile dysfunction. I've never worked with anything like this before, and my initial enthusiasm is rapidly becoming deflated. I think this guy has a sense of humor, Cal. And I'm faced with the first upcoming session. This topic is personally very embarrassing to me. I don't think I can actually even say the clinical words to deal with this client's lack of gusto. And I'll always be professional. I'm going to handle this in a professional way. There's no question about not dealing with this problem. But how do people overcome this when they're starting out as hypnotists?
Well, what's your impression about this hypnotist? Is it is this hypnotist nervous because just the subject matter, or is it because of lack of training, or what?
Well, the impression that I got was that he just never has talked to anybody about anything like this, and especially a man to man. Maybe he's even got the problem. No, that's going a bit too far, isn't it? So, yeah, I think he actually just is, to me it sounds like he's just really not ever talked to anybody about this, even maybe used the words.
Okay, so I'm getting the gist here is that you know, maybe just there's a lot of hypnotists out there that are just kind of nervous about talking about sexual stuff. And it could be a penis, or it could be a vagina, or anything like that. And sometimes what I have to do is, in class with people, with our students, I sometimes have to say, okay, repeat after me. Penis, good, vagina, you know, and let's start using grown-up words about grown-up parts of the body, and then you can start working with grown-up issues. And, if you can't, I mean, if you're not ready for this, then sometimes you just have to say, gosh, I'm not ready for this. But really, it's you just get in there and you start talking matter-of-factly like you're in biology class, and you find out, get a thumbnail sketch of the problem and find out what the benefits for this individual would be, and then you just get started. And there's some good erectile dysfunction scripts out there. I got one in my script book, and you just get started. But most of this isn't going to be accomplished in dealing with just direct suggestion alone. It's a great place to get started, but then you want to get into really going after the cause of the problem, which is going to involve an emotional nature, and it's usually some kind of anxiety, nervousness, worry, that kind of thing that gets in the way. And by the way, if you're going to be working with erectile dysfunction, or ED as they're calling it on the commercials nowadays, you want to get them checked out by a doctor first, because if there's some kind of nerve damage, you know, that kind of thing, then all the hypnosis in the world is probably not going to help them out. So you're going to send them out for a referral. The doctor's going to check and make sure everything is working right. And then it's time for some hypnosis. Does that help out, Celeste?
Yeah, I think that helps out a lot. And when you were talking about saying in the classroom, repeat after me, penis, vagina, I don't think it's a bad idea to walk around your apartment or your house and say those words out loud and start using them in conversations with people that you can use them with, maybe talk to some other people or just record it and tell you, just get real comfortable with the words, because in situations like this, you're going to have to be able to use these words.
That's right. And, you know, let's admit it. If there's any men out there watching this, I don't like the word penis. You know, I wish they would have called it something else, but... you know, I don't want to wax too humorous here, but, you know, the magic wand or something like that. But penis just sounds like you're, I don't know, 7 years old going on 8 years old. But that's the word. That's what we got to use. That's what we got to get used to, get comfortable in using and that kind of thing. How do you feel about the word vagina?
Kind of the same way you feel about the word penis.
Yeah. Do you have a preferred word that you could say in our podcast?
Probably not with a client.
So we're kind of stuck saying what we got to say, and so you just got to get used to saying it. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, I mean, in younger days, it would have been down there. And then, of course, you know, there's various parts to the part.
Okay, now we're getting...
Yeah, now we're getting a little bit too in-depth here.
That's right. We're going to have to label an adult site if we go any farther.
Yeah, they might kick us off of the internet or something.
Let me just say that just don't work beyond your training. But really, this erectile dysfunction, it's got an emotional cause. If you've been trained in working with emotional issues, there's really not that much difference. Just move ahead. You want to be able to find out what their benefits are for... being able to overcome any particular problem. Mix those benefits in with the script that you're going to be using, and it helps them relate to the script that you're using. And then move on to the more powerful techniques. You know, you've got to get in there to the age regression and the forgiveness therapy, because in the mind of the client, someone did that to them. That person's going to need to be forgiven. And then also, heck, as they go through the process a little bit more, they're going to find out that that you know they had some responsibility for the problem. So you want to go into the forgiveness of self, and sometimes there's even some secondary gain issues. So you want to do some parts mediation therapy. It's amazing how sometimes between couples there can be power plays by you know, either withholding sex and stuff like that, and that your client might not be consciously aware of. So they might have to forgive their mate, or, you know, that kind of thing. Okay. And unless you have anything to add to it, Celeste, I'm ready to move on to the next question.
I think we should move on. Yeah.
Before you move on, I want to say some stuff. I want to say, hey, it was a great time at the NGH convention, and it was really cool because the Our Hypnospace members were actually walking up to people and saying, I know you from Our Hypnospace. So it was really a cool way for people to actually know each other and do some really great networking before they got to the convention. And so it was really cool. And and Celeste, I want you to promise me that unless there's a huge something unforeseeable, that you're going to go to the convention next year.
All right. I'll put it in my goals. You know, I started a goals group on Our Hypnospace.
Yes, I saw that.
Yes, I'm going to put that in my list of goals. And next August, I promise, I'm putting this down for the world to hear, I will be there.
You know, it's going to be more important than ever. You're going to love it because, you know, a lot of people are going to know you from the stuff you're doing with me, like these podcasts and stuff. And you're just going to go there and find out you have a... you know, 2,000-3,000 of best friends.
You know, I already have had a lot of people writing me, asking me, they asked me last year and this year, am I going? And it makes you feel pretty bad to say no. But, you know, I just had a lot of clients this year. and we're sort of on an austerity program trying to pay off a couple of bills. And so my husband said, just please wait till next year. And I said, okay, I'll wait one more year, and that's it.
That's it. Good. Well, I'm going to put in one more thing here. Let's see. One of our hypnotherapists here at the center, Mark, I'm going to hold this up. See, he brought me this. This is just a photocopy of it, but evidently there's a Jewish community magazine, and you can't see this, Celeste, but I'm holding up the cover of that, and in that magazine, there's a really nice article where they go over what hypnosis is about, and the article's called Hypnosis Demystified. And in our next episode, I'm going to talk about another a major magazine where one of my friends who's a hypnotist got an article in there, too. And I'll give you a hint. Don't say anything. Don't guess, Celeste. The magazine starts with O, and it's not Outdoor Magazine.
You're kidding me.
Nope. Okay, give me another question. Let's get going.
Okay, this is a simpler question in a lot of ways, thank goodness. It's just a question by someone interested in getting into the hypnosis profession, and they say they just have a regular voice that's kind of soft, and she says, will my voice be good enough to hypnotize someone, and if not, what kind of vocal practice do I need to do to become a hypnotist and make my voice better?
Well, really, you know, if you don't have one of those FM jock, you know, kind of low, Barry White type voices, you're pretty much out of luck in the hypnosis profession. What do you think of that, Celeste?
I think that's a lie.
Well, why is that a lie, Celeste?
Well, because, you know, just a nice voice, mid-range voice is good, deep voice is good. People tend to listen to the directions. They're not really interested in how beautiful your voice is. And once you've hypnotized them and you've gotten them into the state that they need to go into and they've had that first enjoyable session, it doesn't matter how bad your voice is. Suddenly they think you have the most beautiful voice in the world. Isn't that right, Cal?
You're absolutely right. You know, I wrote an article on this, and it was in the I run a regular column in the National Guild of Hypnotists Journal of Hypnotism, and it was, you know, it was talking about your perfect and developing the perfect hypnosis voice. And really, I'm one of those guys that, I mean, I remember the first time I heard myself in a recording. I was just a kid, and I hated it. I was shocked. You know, people don't realize that the way we sound to ourselves is different than how we sound to the world. And so I was really didn't like my voice. I've never liked my voice. And then I got into this business and I realized people were always saying, man, you got just the right voice for this. And I'm thinking, wow, that's great. And then really I began to understand that the proper voice for hypnosis is the voice that is, you know, easy to understand. You shouldn't run your words all together where they can't understand you. But otherwise, what happens is when you talk to the person during the hypnosis pre-talk and the pre-hypnosis interview, they get to know your voice, and then when you do the hypnosis session, the most important thing is congruence. And what do I mean by that? I mean that the tone of your voice should be congruent with what you're saying. In other words, if you're deepening them into, you're suggesting relaxation, then you'd want to use a relaxed tone of voice. If you're doing something where you're talking to them and they're regressed as a child, then you want to use very simple terms and you talk to them like this. Let's say they were seven. Go, hi, seven. How's it going? What's happening? Mm-hmm. What are you thinking, seven? And so you kind of lighten up your voice like you're talking to a child and that kind of thing. If you're trying to get them to bring up emotion, then you want your voice to become very dynamic, you know. For example, if I'm trying to bring the emotion up to getting ready to do an affect bridge age regression technique, I'll say something like this. In a moment, I'm going to count from 1 to 5. When I get to 5, that feeling is going to come up as strong and as powerful as it's ever been. 1. That feeling is coming up strong and powerful. 2, coming up more and more. 3, strong and powerful within you. And so if you're listening carefully to the sound of my voice, it's very dynamic, and I'm increasing the excitement and the amplitude of my voice as I am suggesting that their emotions come up. Do you think that's what they're wondering about, Celeste?
Yeah, and I also think that a lot of people have the wrong idea, even about doing the induction. You know, a relaxed voice isn't necessarily a slow voice or a very deep voice or a very overly feminine or sexy voice. You know, you just want to have a natural sounding voice, and you want to take breaths and put a little space in between your sentences to give them time to follow your directions, even if it just means taking a breath or settling in a little bit down into the chair, relaxing. You know, you don't want to just go one sentence right after the next without any pausing. And you don't want to stretch out your words either, because that just sounds silly. And that's going to tend to make them laugh and leave. You know, you just want to say, okay, now close your eyes. And take a deep breath in and hold it for a few seconds. Now let it out and go deeper. Something like that. That's not usually the way I do my induction. I do an instant induction and then deepen about like that. And then a lot of it is just giving them space to deepen themselves. You're giving them the instructions. Give them time to make it happen.
Beautiful. Yeah, and I actually speak quite quickly when I'm doing an induction. For example, here's part of the Elman Banyan induction, and I just go, take a look at my hand, take a nice deep breath, exhale, close your eyes. You know you can relax your eyelids so much that they just won't work. Once you're sure that you've done that, hold on to that relaxation, and then check them to make sure they won't work. And so it's very just an instructional voice. Unless I'm starting to really deepen them, then I will go slower and softer and that kind of thing.
Right. I mean, you don't want to start screaming at them if you want them to relax, like, close your eyes and relax right this instant. I mean, that wouldn't make any sense either. But you don't want to bore them to death or be so slow in your tonality and in your delivery that they just fall asleep. Unless you're doing an insomnia CD, which in that case might be a really good thing to do. Huh, Cal?
Yeah, I got a recording for it. It's called Free to Sleep Hypnosis on CD. And all I do is kind of talk slow and soft and do a progressive relaxation. And then every deepening technique I can think of for about 20 minutes. And everyone tells me, boy, that puts them right to sleep. So. Hey, Celeste, I get the feeling you're kind of wound up today. Are you kind of wound up?
Yeah, I've had a ton of coffee today. I don't know why, but it just kept tasting so good, and I drank almost a whole pot. And, yeah, I'm just really bouncy and probably a wee bit annoying. So sorry.
Good. Hey, let me make a couple more announcements. Are we done with that topic?
Yes, let's move on.
Okay. Hey, I want to say just a couple more things. I, in a previous podcast, I think I announced that I have hypnosis.org. And what I want to get from our viewers and our listeners is any suggestions you have about what the most ideal hypnosis resource website would be. And one of the things we're going to do is we have some hypnosis scripts on there. We're going to point to news on there. We're going to maybe point to some of the best blogs on there. And we're going to point to real scientific research that comes out and some of the most important organizations. And I just got a message from you in the mail yesterday or today about something that should be on there too. What was that, Celeste?
Well, I really think what would be a great idea it's hypnosis.org, right?
Right.
Is a hypnotist who's who. Because if you've ever talked to a hypnotist, either in email or maybe you even ended up talking on the phone for a little while, and then time goes by and you talk to another hypnotist, and you want to get back to one of the earlier hypnotists you talked to, but you can't remember where they are or what they specialized in and so on, it's kind of a bummer. You need to be able to, we need a place where we can put our information and not just contact information, but also just the things that we're into and what we're doing. For instance, Tina Schaefer in Adrian, Michigan is one of the best small town hypnotists that I've heard of. In a town of $20,000, she's making money.
And, $20,000?
I mean, sorry? In a town of 20,000 people, 20,000 people. And she, at about an hour away in several directions, there are larger cities, but she's not pulling from them yet. She's just pulling from that immediate area. And she's pretty amazing. And so I just want to kind of keep her in my back pocket as somebody that I can refer another small town hypnotist to when they call me and ask me, how do I make money in my small town? And so I just think a hypnotist who's who would be a great idea.
I think that is a great idea. And one of the things we were thinking about doing was two things. One is we're going to do a who's who in hypnosis, and it's going to be the notables that people hear about and stuff like that. We're going to have short biographical information, some contact information, and then if I can work out the details, what we're going to do is we're going to put a directory on there too of people that the hypnotist can get on and just help to get the word out. So we've just got a whole bunch of stuff, and I want to hear about other suggestions. We're in that planning it phase.
You know, Cal, I had another idea. I think this one would take a lot of money and a lot of effort, though, so I don't know if it's even possible. But some sort of conference room where people could get on there for audio or audio-video meetings at regular intervals, maybe paying a small fee or something, because people like the different groups on our hypnospace.com for writing. But I wonder if a lot of hypnotists would also love to just meet face-to-face, kind of like we do with the five-path study group that I do. It's pretty cool.
I know we could do that. It's just a matter of trying to figure out how to do that and maintain some kind of quality assurance, because we don't want to get someone in there using it in an inappropriate way. Someone would have to kind of moderate it live. And so if we can get some moderators who would go in there when they're open, like, for example, a Friday night chat or something where people go in there and just visit. And we're also working on getting one of those IM type things for our hypnospace hooked up too, so people can just IM each other through our hypnospace. So there's a lot of stuff to go on. So hey, we're running short on time. Why don't you just wrap this up for us, and that'll be it for another week.
Okay. Well, it was really fun meeting with you again, Cal. You know, I'm in Dallas, Texas at Family First Hypnosis, and Cal's all the way in Tustin, California. We get together like this periodically to bring information and all kinds of et cetera to you, because it's Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, et cetera. And we'll see you next time.
Hey, Celeste, give them your website address and email.
And my website is familyfirsthypnosis.com. I also have a blog on ourhypnospace.com. What about you, Cal? Give them some of your stuff.
Oh, remember, if you're watching this, there's a lot, usually some different kinds of resources right down there below this picture. So if you're watching it on Google or Blip TV or some other website, to get all the details that we talk about, the links and resources, go to calbanyan.com. Of course, we've got hypnosis.org, and one of my biggest, oldest websites is hypnosiscenter.com, and you can always email me with your input at calbanyan, that's B-A-N-Y-A-N, at hypnosiscenter.com. Take it away, Celeste.
Okay, everybody, it was great being with you. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. Oh, by the way, got questions about hypnosis? We got answers. Go to askcal.ourhypnosisspace.com. Post your question there. We'll do our best to put them on the show. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye for now. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.